You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast. In today's episode, we are moving into the second principle from the limit setting skill, and that principle is limits are not needed until they're needed. And last week, we talked through when a child is drowning, it's not the time to teach them to swim. And so this one will kind of piggyback on that, that we only set limits when they're needed. But before we dive into the principle, I wanted to give a brief moment to dedicate to a last call. So I am ready to start this quarter's cohort of private training. So if you have been thinking about it, if you've been wondering about it, if this is the first time you're hearing about it, go to playtherapynow.com. Fill out the form and I will reach out to you. And we are starting next week. So within the next 2 or 3 days, I am closing this group and you will need to wait for another 3 months before you can get going again. So if you would like to train virtually with me, if you find this podcast helpful, if you would like to go a little bit deeper about child-centered play therapy and also know how to run a child-centered private practice, then this would be an awesome training for you. So playtherapynow.com, fill out the form, and I will get back with you and schedule a brief call. Doesn't commit you to anything. It just gives me a chance to talk to you. playtherapynow.com. Okay, now that I got that out of the way, let's move back to the principle. So here's what is really important about this principle. As we are thinking about this, limits are not needed until they're needed. This has to influence everything we do in the playroom because, well, I guess several reasons. First, parents are very quick to want us to set limits on all behavior right away and fix whatever they believe to be the problematic issues. So my child is angry. You need to teach them not to be angry. My child is too anxious. You need to teach them not to be anxious. My child is losing control and getting in trouble at school. You need to teach them to stop. And so parents are very limit focused and limit driven. And we have to keep this in the back of our minds that we only set limits when they're needed and they're not needed until they are, because it gives children the freedom and the autonomy and the space to do the work that they need to do. And that is extremely important. So here are three things that I think are really helpful for us to keep in mind, and we'll dive a little bit deeper to each of these three. So the first is we always want to keep the three questions about limits in our minds. And we covered that before when we went through the limit setting skill, but we will remind ourselves of that. It's good to have refreshers. Secondly, with this principle, every child will believe that the limits are different, and that is intentional. So we'll look into that. And then finally, by operating with this model that we only set limits when they're needed, there's an implication of trust. And that is extremely important for the kids that come in to our playrooms. They have to believe that we trust them. So we'll look at each of those together. So first of all, when we think back to the limit setting skill, the episode where we covered limit setting as one of the four pillars, we talked about the three questions that we always ask ourselves when we're deciding whether or not to set a limit. And those are, is this limit necessary? Number one. Number two, can I consistently enforce this limit if I set it? And three, if I allow this behavior to continue and don't set a limit, will I be able to continue to accept the child? So when we are thinking about limits only being needed when they're needed, there's kind of a precursor to that, right? Because if we're assessing whether or not a limit is necessary, we also must ask ourselves those three questions. So is this necessary? Can I consistently enforce it? And can I allow this behavior to continue and still accept the child if I don't set a limit? So if we say that any of those three questions that we ask give us an answer that warrant, yes, this is going to require a limit, then at that point and at that point only, the limit is necessary and therefore we set one. So I don't think we can keep this principle in mind, limits are only needed when they're needed, without also thinking about those three questions kind of serving as our litmus test. All right, so that's very important. Then secondly, why I love this is because every kid ends up thinking that the limits in the playroom are different. Now, obviously, they don't use the word limit, they use the word rule. So what has happened over the years is that kids will tell their parents Do you know there's only one rule in Miss Brenna's playroom? In Miss Brenna's playroom, the only rule is if I climb to the top of the shelves, I have to sit on my bottom once I get up there. These are true, by the way. I'm not making this up on the fly. These are things that kids have actually said to their parents. Another child said, do you know that the only thing that I'm not allowed to do in Miss Brenna's playroom is pour water on the floor? Do you know that the only thing that Miss Brenna tells me that I am not allowed to do is to color on my skin? I can color anywhere else, which is really not true, but that's what the child believed. So, and I could go on with more, you know, when you've done this almost 20 years, there are lots of these stories that you can remember, but I'm sharing that with you for a couple reasons. First of all, when you only set limits when they're needed, kids don't think that there are rules. And that is the beauty of the child-centered non-directive approach, because kids come in and they feel that they have complete freedom until something is required. And then we set a limit on that behavior only. And then the child thinks, oh, that's the only time there's ever been a rule in here. And what's funny is if I would line all of those kids up collectively and say, okay, on the count of three, I want all of you to tell me what the rules are in Miss Brenna's playroom. Every single one of them would say that there's a different rule. And that's intentional because they only needed that one particular limit. The child that climbed my shelves every week, he literally would get all the way up to the top and want to stand up on the top of the shelf. And so his safety obviously required that he had to sit down when he got up there. My other child wanted to pour water all over the floor. And I have wood floors. So that was a limit that required me to set something. However, that child, the water pouring child, never got the sit down on your bottom when you get to the top of the shelf limit. And neither of those two ever got the markers aren't for coloring on your skin limit. So you can see how it's individualized for every child. And therefore, it's a special experience in the playroom each and every time for every child that comes in. And then finally, there's an implication of trust when we only set limits when they're needed, because the undercurrent, the unexplained piece of it is I trust you. I don't have to give you rules. I don't have to give you limits. I don't have to tell you what you can and can't do. I trust you. I trust you to do the things that you need to do. I trust you to keep yourself safe and me safe and the toys and the playroom safe. And I trust you to do the things that you know you should do and not do the things you know you should not do. However, there will be some times that a child is not able to do those things. And only in that moment do we set the limit. And I think it's also important, just like those three questions we have to ask ourselves for the litmus test, I think it's also important to remember that there are three reasons we set limits. So the questions are what we ask ourselves to determine if the limit is necessary. Then there are three reasons we set limits. And those are, I have to be safe, you have to be safe, and the toys can't be broken on purpose. So safety is always at the root of setting limits. And when I coach parents privately, when I give workshops and conferences, and when I speak, I use this with parents all of the time, because that is the number one question that I get, no matter what topic, no matter what we've been speaking on, no matter why they're there, why they came to hear me. I end up with a question, well, what am I supposed to say to my child about fill in the blank? So about screens, about behavior, about phones, about school, about whatever. I mean, there's always this question of how do I handle this from a discipline standpoint, right? And you have to keep in mind, limit setting is a form of disciplinary strategy, but the goal is to let the child self-control, which is not like any other discipline strategy that exists. Because in every other discipline strategy, the parent insists upon a certain outcome. And there are consequences. And so when you give limits, it allows the child to self-regulate and to self-control. So we are constantly in these conversations with parents where they're going, well, what am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to handle that? What am I supposed to explain? And I always say, your kids may not like it, but they will never argue with you about being kept safe. So it's not safe for you to do that. It is my job to keep you safe. It is my job to make sure that you are protected from things that you're not able to deal with or ready to deal with, or you can't handle yet. safety is always at the root of what a child understands as a valid reason why. They may not like it. They may still be angry and upset and frustrated and all kinds of things, but they will never say, no, I don't want you to keep me safe. So when we set limits in the playroom, I have to be safe, you have to be safe, and the toys can't be broken on purpose. Those are the reasons why. So notice, child climbing up on top of the shelf, safety, pouring water on the floor, keeping the playroom safe, drawing on themselves with permanent marker, keeping them, their bodies safe. There are always reasons why limits are set. So it's not willy-nilly. It's not hodgepodge. It's a limit today. It's not a limit tomorrow. That's why we ask those three questions at the beginning. And then that's why we filter it through. I have to be safe. You have to be safe. Toys can't be broken on purpose. And playroom has to not be damaged, is kind of lumped in with toys can't be broken on purpose. So with that implication of trust, you're basically saying, I know that you'll do what you're supposed to do. And I think that's very powerful, because the undercurrent is, I have faith in you and I accept you as you are. I love you as you are unconditionally. And I won't need to enforce anything until I do. And it will be just on that one issue and we'll move on. And if you are new to the podcast and you didn't listen to the pillars, the four pillars and the skills that we've already covered, this probably isn't making a whole lot of sense. So please go back and listen from episode one and go in numerical order all the way through. And you will understand why we're talking about this principle of limit setting once you understand the limit setting skill. So if you're new, welcome. So glad you're here. If you've been with me for a long time from the beginning, you're one of my veterans. Thank you for sticking it out. And I'm always so grateful to have time with you each week. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for reaching out. I always love it when I hear from you all. Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. And in the next episode, we will talk through a question from a listener. So can't wait till we get to do that. As always, I look forward to seeing you again. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.